Hello, this is Steve Antoine, and this is episode number 3 of the Military Simulation and History Podcast. The homepage for this podcast is www.seaworthy, that's S-E-A-W-O-R-T-H-Y, .freeservers.com/custom4.html, and you may also link to the podcast at www.protopage.com/podcasts. And episode number 3, what I wanted to do is to talk a little bit about a book I recently read, and which is related to the Civil War. Book I read within the last couple of weeks. It's called Gettysburg by Newt Gingrich and William Fortune. Really, the greatest battle of the Civil War was fought at Gettysburg in July of 1863. It's generally considered the turning point of the war, and the advance of the Army of Northern Virginia, which was led by Robert E. Lee, was defeated, and he was placed mostly on the defensive after this battle. I recently finished reading the book. It gives a kind of a what-if account of the battle. The Battle of Gettysburg starts out, it's a work of fiction, but it pulls a lot on the historical facts of the time and presents an alternate scenario for what might have happened at Gettysburg if Lee would have made some different decisions. The Battle of Gettysburg, in the book, the Battle of Gettysburg starts out much as it did historically with General John Buford inserting his cavalry in an attempt to deny the Confederates the good ground of battle. He realized that if the Confederates were able to move up on the higher ground, that they would have a better defensive position. And Buford had some of his cavalry, which at the time they were armed with the Spencer rifles, which were able to provide a higher rate of fire. So his small number of dismounted cavalry was holding off the large army of 70-some thousand of Lee, which was trying to move up and take the good position. The battle, in the book, the battle looks like it's going to start out and end as it did historically, but the book offers some different results. The authors in the book seem to have researched the battle very well. If different decisions had been made, as laid out in this book, the battle could have been a disaster for the Union Army. Rather than committing to a straight-ahead charge, in this book, Lee chooses to maneuver around the Union Army, which was commanded by General Meade, and he places himself between the Union Army and the capital of Washington. And after capturing much of the Union supplies, he then lures Meade into making an assault upon dug-in Confederate positions. And this was something that was new at the time of the Civil War. The defenders had a much greater advantage than the attackers. In the real Battle of Gettysburg, Lee sent in his troops and quite a few straight-ahead charges. Probably the most famous would be the Pickett's charge, which was commanded towards the end of the battle, which was really a slaughter that should have never taken place. I can recall watching the movie Gettysburg. I believe that came out in 1993. In that movie, Martin Sheen played General Lee, and Tom Berenger played General Longstreet. And I recall even in the movie that Longstreet had suggested making a flanking move so that the Union line could be turned, and rather than making a direct frontal assault. During the meeting, Longstreet was overruled, and much of the Confederate strategy was based on attacking directly at the Union front lines and trying to break them with a straight-on charge. In this book, Lee considers Longstreet's idea of a flanking maneuver, and rather than overruling it and going with the straight-ahead charges, in the book, Lee decides to even go a step further. Rather than simply flank and attack, Lee decides to get his entire army between the Union Army at Gettysburg and Washington, and then place his own army in a dug-in position. And that way he cuts off the army and threatens Washington, D.C. It's interesting because I also recently read the book Lost Victories, The Military Genius of Stonewall Jackson, which was written by Bevan Alexander. This book claims that the real military genius of the Confederacy was within Jackson and not Lee. Jackson had made several early attempts to convince Jefferson Davis, who was the president of the Confederacy, and Lee to accept a plan to take the war into the North and basically destroy the North's will to fight. Jackson's idea was not to try to take the Union Army head on, knowing that the Union would always have more men and material, but to try to destroy the North's will to fight. Every time Jackson made that argument to try to take the war into the North, he was denied each time. In this book by Bevan Alexander, you know, another example, you had the Battle of Second Manassas, which was shown to be an incomplete victory. Jackson anticipated that the Union General Pope would retreat, and with quick action, he knew that the entire Union Army could have been cut off and destroyed. Lee delayed the action suggested by Jackson, and much of the Union Army was allowed to escape. Really, only at the Battle of Chancellorsville did Lee accept one of Jackson's plans for defeating the Union Army. It's difficult for me to imagine Lee moving into a defensive campaign to lure the Union Army into attacking in Pennsylvania, such as is laid out in the book, Gettysburg, by Newt Gingrich and William Fortune. Lee had a history of resorting to frontal assaults when he became desperate for victory. Even if Jackson had survived after Chancellorsville, I wonder if he would have had any more luck convincing Lee that the way to fight the Union Army was to lure them into attacking, rather than the disastrous assaults that occurred at Gettysburg and many of the battles before. Jackson would have surely advised Lee to maneuver around the Union positions at Gettysburg and place the Confederate Army in a defensive position between the Federals and the capital of Washington. In looking at General Longstreet's memos made after the war, it appears that Longstreet suggested that the Confederate Army should go around the left of the Union lines and position themselves between the enemy and Washington. In his memos, he reported that Lee responded by saying, if he is there tomorrow, I will attack him. From Lee's records, it appears he was concerned that if he tried to flee back into the mountains after coming upon the entire Union Army near Gettysburg, he would have had he'd have difficulty getting his supplies and long columns safely back. He felt his best option was to attack the Union Army, which kind of makes me wonder if even Stonewall Jackson would have been able to convince Lee otherwise. It seems that with the loss of Jackson at this time of Gettysburg, it seems that Lee felt he had to take more direct control of his army since the death of Jackson. Perhaps Jackson would have been able to convince Lee to change his strategy at Gettysburg. I think Jackson would have had a better chance than anyone to do it, but it's one of those things that's been analyzed and pondered for many years, and it's really hard for anyone to know what the outcome would have been had Jackson survived Chancellorsville. Next week in the podcast, I plan to discuss some more of the Battle of Gettysburg, and then I plan to step back into some of the early battles of the Civil War. Again, I wanted to let you know that you can link to the podcast at www.protopage.com/podcasts. And we're still continuing the registration for the Steel Panthers World at War tournament, that war game covering World War II tactical battles. The sign-up for that is at www.sptournament.blogspot.com. And I want to mention that registration is completely free. You can match your skills in the Steel Panthers war game with opponents from around the world. decided to extend that registration period at least till the end of February to allow for enough people to sign up. Now that I have this podcast underway, I hope to get the word out about the tournament. And again, this is Steve Antoine for the Military Simulation and History Podcast. Look forward to having you back for episode number 4.